God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the worlds, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Question for you, just right off the bat, a little political thing, because I think it's almost funny. I'm not someone who thinks politics is generally funny, because it's become so poisonous. But let me ask you a question. Is fake Dr. Jill Biden mocking Kamala Harris here in this soundbite?
You all feel that sense of, you know, peace and light, and that just for a moment when you leave here today that you feel, I don't know, a sense of joy. Because I think we all need like this, you know, we all need to feel joy now during this time of the season, during this time. So anyway, okay, now I'll start. You're all reading into that.
Yeah, she was stretching it. It's a fascinating thing to watch deep staters joking with one another. Deep state. That's a really scary phrase, isn't it? Jill Biden is someone who has taken Joe Biden by the hand, pulled him in and out of events, and she's pretended, along with everybody else, that Joe Biden is running things. And he's not, and we know this. So what do we as Christians think of this? I mean, how do we view this biblically? Well, let's start with the very basics. You shall not lie. Is Joe Biden president? He has the title. I happen to believe he stole the election that made him capable of using that title. I know there's people who disagree. I believe it was stolen. I know it was rigged. But that's not why I say he's not president. He can't run things. So let's not participate in lies. It doesn't, though, mean that we become filled with despair. Because the true leader is still in charge. It is to God's pleasure that this happened. It's to God's will that we live in a circumstance like this where there are, in fact, deep state actors running things. So what are we to make of this? How about uniquely fallen? In what way are you uniquely fallen? Uniquely. I'll give you one for me. I could sit down and construct a big spreadsheet. Not a beautiful one. I'm like a McKinsey consultant. I can't do macros and stuff like that. But I could sit down and construct a big spreadsheet and really sit down and focus on my finances and the finances of the business and a retirement, and I don't. I'm not a good steward that way. And I wonder if God's tightening the screws a little bit. I wonder if he's doing that. You know, the expenses on my podcast side have gone up. We're making all these investments in YouTube. I don't want to be there. But I have to reach young people. And I found myself thinking, oh my gosh, I'm paying these producers to produce these videos. And all this money's going out of my pocket. And I've got this tax bill. And Metashare failed me. And I'll talk about that later. And all of a sudden, a year later, Medicare has come back and said, oh, we need $28,000. We decided, actually, we're not going to cover the surgery. And I'm still appealing that with Medicare. And the lady I'm working with now is a really good lady. I found myself thinking, oh my gosh, these financial worries. Well, wait, where's your spreadsheet? Why aren't you monitoring your finances? Because that's an area of my life I've not decided to steward well. And God's been so gracious. He's given me so much financially. At least I could steward it. So I'm uniquely fallen in that way. Now, as I confess this to you, I can hear you saying, so fix it. Yeah, we're doing that. And again, I'm not asking for concern or sympathy. We are so blessed in comparison to a lot of folks that it'd take a lot for us to, right, be in a desperate state. Praise God. Part of that is this program. Thank you. I'm just confessing. That's a way in which I'm uniquely fallen. Maybe you're the same. So the people in the deep state, I think, are uniquely fallen in that they do not trust anyone else. When you're a liar, you don't trust other people. When you're a tyrant, you think everyone else is trying to control you. Look what the deep state is. There's a documentary in Britain. And what it did is it uncovered the fact that the deep state deposed a prime minister in 44 days. Liz Truss, the former British prime minister who's lasted only 44 days in office, is sounding the alarm on the permanent bureaucracy or the deep state, which she believes posed the biggest existential threat to Western civilization. This comes from The Federalist, by the way. This piece is by Brecken Thies. The Prime Minister versus the Blob, a documentary from Palladium Productions and Wall Street Journal opinion section, dives into Truss's short tenure as a case study in which a world leader can be effectively deposed by the self-proclaimed expert class of unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, which the British not so affectionately call the Blob. The film is available for free on the Journal's website, and it's a fascinating watch. Was she ever really Prime Minister? Not if she can be deposed in 44 days by unelected bureaucrats. So what do we make of this from a Christian perspective? They're lording their power over others. Jesus told us to not do that. What do we make of this from a Christian perspective? The Bible is trustworthy. God told us this is what happens when you ask for human kings. Senator John Kennedy had the opportunity to question some witnesses about our open border. He talked to a retired general named Randy Manner. He talked to him for a bit and then asked a witness, Mr. Richard Melnick, about his opinion about open borders. So listen here as we go through this. First soundbite here. John Kennedy asked the first witness his assessment of the border being like an open wound on the country.
Mr. Arthur, you are with the Center for Immigration Studies, is that right?
That's correct, Senator.
And that's a nonpartisan think tank, is it?
It is, sir.
Okay. The border is an open bleeding wound, isn't it?
That's a fair way to characterize what's been going on for the last 4 years, sir.
The southern border is chaotic by design, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've been covering the border for 3 decades, and yeah, it's pretty chaotic.
Would it be fair to say that the broken southern border is man-made?
It would be fair to say that, sir, based on policies that have been implemented.
And that man's name is Joe Biden, isn't it?
That would be a fair assessment, yes, Senator.
Under President Biden, if you wait in line for legal immigration, you're a chump, aren't you?
When you look at the benefits that have been given to people and the speed at which they've been released into the United States, I would be chagrined if I were waiting.
You're
for
a
years.
Chump, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
As he continued through this, and we'll hear more of this discussion with Senator Kennedy and these two witnesses, what are we to make of this biblically? What was Joe Biden's oath? Well, to defend our nation, right? What is the oath of the people who run the Department of Homeland Security to defend our nation against enemies, foreign and domestic? Are they doing that? No. They're lying. And God warned us. The Bible is trustworthy. When you have human kings, here's what you're going to get. So why do we continue to treat these people like kings, at least even mentally? Why not just think of them as what they are? Fallen human beings struggling around, attempting to make a heaven on earth that they cannot accomplish. I'm not accusing Senator Kennedy of that. I'm accusing the deep state of that, lording their power over others. John Kennedy asked retired Major General Randy Manner if he believes in open borders.
General, yes, you sir. Believe in open borders, don't you?
I believe in the rule of law, sir.
All right. And it makes you angry that President Trump does not believe in open borders, doesn't it?
Senator, I'm not here to discuss immigration policy. I'm here to discuss whether or not we use the military to enforce it.
And it makes you angry that most Americans don't believe in open borders, doesn't it?
Not in the slightest, sir. Again, I am not here to discuss the immigration policy.
Yeah. Duty, honor, respect, you talked about that.
Yes, Senator.
In your opening statement.
So duty, honor, respect. Those are great words, but the senator is asking a very, very clear question. Do you believe in open borders? I'm not here to discuss that. I'm here to discuss if we should use the military to remove people. You can't have that discussion until you talk about the fact that the border remains open. You can't have the discussion as to why would we be pushed to using our military to do this. Let's look at this again from a biblical perspective. Let's you and I not speak lies. Please answer this honestly. Do we have a southern border? No. Not right now. Let us not speak lies. Do we hate immigrants? I hope not. They're made in the image of God. We're to love them. I hope we don't. Where is their responsibility coming into our country? Well, if they're Christian, to follow our laws. That's a big one of them. So that would start with, oh, I can't come in illegally. So they have their fallen nature. I described mine. I'm uniquely fallen in a way. What's yours? I think this is the deep states. They can't stand the idea of us participating in running our country. So they do things behind the scenes, like have open borders. So Senator John Kennedy asked the retired general, Randy Manner, about some comments he made on CNN.
On October 14th of this year, you went on CNN. Here's what you said. President Trump is not like any sane leader. I'm very proud of General Milley for saying that President Trump is a total fascist to Bob Woodward. If he as chairman of the Joint Chiefs is calling the president a fascist, I'm so proud of him for breaking that barrier. The challenge is because most MAGA Republicans, they don't understand what fascism is. The reality is that they are in fact fascists themselves. Did I read that accurately?
Senator, I am happy to discuss my personal perspective with you separately at any time. That's not the purpose of the hearing today.
Did I read that accurately?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
So this is a guy who is testifying and he only wants to talk about his topic. His topic cannot be discussed unless we discuss the topic of the open borders. And because of his questioning, John Kennedy was told he insulted General Randy Manner.
You think you're smarter than the American people, don't you?
Absolutely not, Senator. I am here to discuss the use of the military as part of this mass deportation.
You think you're more virtuous than the American people, don't you, General?
Senator, I am insulted by your comment.
Duty, honor, and respect. You talked about that in your opening statement, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Moran said, I wrote down her words. She said, by their actions, you know what someone's character is like. You agree with that?
Senator, for 35 years, I served my country with absolute honor and distinction, and I will continue to do so.
You agree with what Ms. Moran said?
Of course.
Just one more thing. Just one more thing about this retired general in a comparison to Nancy Pelosi, who has a very strange view of Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church, almost like the general views us. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We started the program discussing a documentary in the UK that reveals how a so-called prime minister, and I use that phrase purposely, was removed by unelected bureaucrats in 44 days, meaning she was never really prime minister. So why ask this on a network like AFR? Because I want to look at this from a biblical point of view. Here's what we've established so far. The existence of the deep state and people in it who cannot stand republican forms of democracy, or in the case of England, a parliamentarian form, they need to take things into their own hands. They need to use their power and then lord it over us. We are all uniquely fallen in a specific way. I mean, there's only so many ways you can be fallen. I've said mine is I can't stand dealing with finances. And God's blessed me, and our cup is overflown. And in that way, he's kind of saved me from myself. But it doesn't feel very good to not be a good steward of God's money. Not as good as I could be. So I am confessing to a way in which I'm fallen. There's plenty others. I'm sure you have those too, and we struggle with that. The people who run the deep state are simply just fallen in a different way. They want to lord the power over others, and probably because they're afraid of their fellow human beings. What will they do? They're not the smart ones. The Bible's trustworthy because it said, when you have human kings, here's what they're going to do to you. You could have had God as your king, but you chose to have a human king. And we're still making that choice. So if we're looking at this biblically, and we heard us go through this testimony John Kennedy tried to extract from a retired major general named Randy Manner, who is testifying to the Senate, but only on the topic he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about whether we should use the military to remove illegal immigrants from our country. And I'll tell you my candid thoughts. I'm uncomfortable with it. I don't think it's a great idea to have our military involved in street actions that way. Now, the National Guard, well, that's a different issue. But here's the reality. To destroy our country's electoral college and to destroy our country, the left and people like Mitch McConnell participating within that have welcomed illegal immigrants en masse into our country. McConnell, for reasons of labor costs, etc., and because he's paid to do this. We don't have a choice. Unless we'd like our electoral college completely overrun, we have to turn people back and we have to secure the border. So to have a discussion about using the military to remove people from our country who are illegally, you can't do that unless you talk about the state of the border and whether it's open or not. And John Kennedy, senator, had just asked this retired general if he was if he thought he's better than the American people, because he went on this rant talking about President Trump being a fascist. Well, if we want to describe fascism, we could do that and define it. That's where companies and government become one. What's one of the major forces for illegal immigration? Lower labor costs. Companies and government becoming one. In this same portion of testimony, Senator Kennedy asked another witness, a witness named Mr. Reichland Melnick, about some of his tweets.
Mr. Reichland Melnick. You believe in open borders too, don't you?
I do not, Mr. Kennedy.
Okay. On November 1st, 2022, you tweeted, both Texas and Louisiana have their knives out for black immigrants. Do you remember that tweet?
I don't, but it's quite possible.
What Texans, it's not only possible, it happened. You're not denying it, are you?
No, I'm saying, referring
what
to the
Texans?
Context.
Who are
I actually
you talking
don't
to?
Know the
who
context.
Who are you talking to in about who in Texas had their knives out for black immigrants?
Guessing the context, but my suspicion is
give
that it has
name.
To do the
give
Attorney General Ken Paxton and
give
the Attorney General of
give me a
Louisiana.
Name.
I just did.
You don't have a name, do you?
I just said Ken Paxton.
You don't have a name, do you? You just
I,
said
I
it, did
just
you?
Said Ken Paxton.
All right, how about Louisiana? You said Louisiana has its knives out for black immigrants. Who in Louisiana were you talking about?
Again, I'm not certain. That was 2 years ago, and as I'm sure you know, much has happened in the last 2 years.
Well, did you say it?
Again, I do not remember the context, but Senator Kennedy.
You said somebody had their knives out from Louisiana for black immigrants, but you don't know who they were? You just said it?
I said the Attorney General of Louisiana and Texas, and I believe this referred to specifically lawsuits brought and arguments that were made in court that the arrival of Haitians and others
were inherently
dangerous.
I'm out of time, but I want to get you on the record.
Thank you very much, Senator. Appreciate
that the
your
Attorney
questions.
General at that time of Louisiana had his eyes not knives out for black immigrants. That's your testimony.
Given
thank
their
you,
litigation
Senator
conduct,
Kennedy.
Yes.
Knives. You cannot possibly be against illegal immigration unless you have your knives out for people. You cannot possibly be against illegal immigration unless there is a racist construct to it. That is the view of an elite who is so incredibly smart that he has read into your hearts and mine. Maybe I'm reading into his. Except I'm watching his behaviors. I'm watching a consistent form of behavior from our government. In the aftermath of President Trump's election, Washington, D.C. has changed not at all. Yes, there was the resignation of Christopher Wray, a corrupt FBI official who has beclowned the FBI. But the person next up, if it's not Kash Patel, will have lived under the same society of elitism. It's a unique form of being fallen. Maybe it's extra pride. I contend it's extra fear. Oh, there are the prideful. Nancy Pelosi, I think maybe as we're going about that, I'm pointing out the specks in other people's eyes, knowing there's logs in mine. I think that Nancy Pelosi's entire persona is embodied by the word pride. Pride and avarice. That famous video of her during the COVID lockdowns, during that portion of that PSYOP against the world, with her eating her ice cream from her huge $50,000 something refrigerator, and it was like $15,000 in ice cream, and she went and got her hair blow-dried, or I think it's called a blowout, and she did that despite the lockdowns, and she got caught wearing no masks in there, and then she was going to try to sue the lady who ran the salon. Remember that? Pride. So Nancy Pelosi has been banned from receiving communion. She likes to say she's a Catholic. The San Francisco Archbishop has banned politicians who are pro-abortion from receiving communion. Listen to what Nancy Pelosi said. And if you're Catholic, I'd love your help with this. And you can write to me at thetoddhermanshow.com. Here's what Nancy Pelosi said. I receive communion anyway. That's his problem, not mine. My Catholic faith is Christ is my Savior. It has nothing to do with the bishops. Now, this is being written by the AP via MSN, and listen to what they do here. Pelosi further described her reliance on her faith and her belief that there's a divine spark in each person, a view she shared with the late Representative John Lewis. He has passed on about 3 years ago. Why is he in this article? Because of race. That's why. More from Pelosi. My faith is always with me. I always feel there's an angel on my shoulder. The spark of divinity is what I respect in every person, especially if they respect themselves. Fair enough. I believe there is an angel on her shoulder. A very dark, very ugly, very prideful angel. It's that first part of her quote. I receive communion anyway. That's his problem, not mine. My Catholic faith is Christ is my Savior. It has nothing to do with the bishops. Okay, let's go through this together. She received communion having been told by the leaders of her church she's not to receive communion. So therefore, she's violating respect for the leaders of her church. If I'm not mistaken, we are taught to not receive communion with an unclean heart. We receive this in our evangelical church. We view it differently than Catholics do, but we receive it. And incidentally, there are a lot of evangelicals who've started to take the view that it's literally the blood and body of Christ, that literally is happening. I understand in the Catholic processes, I understand it. I'm not Catholic. God works through the priest to actually transfigure the elements into the literal blood and flesh of the Lord Jesus. That's how I understand it. So Nancy Pelosi here saying it's the bishop's problem, not mine. Wait a minute. The bishop is the confirmed leader of that church. And if Nancy Pelosi's not square with him, and she's not square with the Lord, and she's going in with a problem in her heart, I don't think she's supposed to take communion under that setting anyway. But then we get to this, Nancy Pelosi. My Catholic faith is Christ is my Savior. It has nothing to do with the bishops. Okay, again, I'm not Catholic. But going back a little bit, as I understand the Catholic Church's view on this, when Peter confessed that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter, for it is not me that told you this, but my Father in heaven. And it is upon this rock that I build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." I understand the Catholic point of view to be at that point, Peter effectively became the first pope and then selected the first bishops. And heretofore, the Catholic Church has carried on that tradition, the papal ascendancy, correct? Therefore, in fact, Nancy Pelosi isn't even a Catholic. I mean, she has absolutely excommunicated herself hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and millions of times with every single abortion she's endorsed or pushed or paid for or forced you to pay for. But she doesn't even respect the structure of the Catholic Church. And that pride. I receive communion anyway. That's his problem, not mine. I beg to differ. Nancy Pelosi speaks the language of the elite. I did it anyway. I'm Catholic anyway. It's fascinating to watch. There's a battle coming in D.C. as President Trump comes into town. I'll tell you something about what he's doing with one of his top picks for the Justice Department. Remember the Justice Department that went about attacking Catholics? Well, they went about attacking Catholics and trying to jail them and calling parents at school board meetings domestic terrorists if they were upset about pornography being read to their kids or boys pretending to be girls and going on to sexually assault girls, sometimes raping them in bathrooms. President Trump has selected a woman named Harmeet K. Dillon to lead the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. She'd been the attorney for pro-life journalist David DeLeiden. And you remember this, David DeLeiden, Center for Medical Progress? Kamala Harris attempted to destroy him because he made a perfectly legal documentary about how Planned Parenthood was selling the body parts of murdered babies. Remember that? She went and had the government authorities search his home, steal his computers, steal his notebooks, his content. There is a change coming. Harmeet K. Dillon may well defend the civil rights of Christians as the Department of Justice has been attacking them. But that's an attack from elites in D.C., which I would expect. And of course, the Lord warned us about it. He also warned us about false prophets, false teachers. And here we cross from the elites of the so-called secular world into the spiritual world, although all things are spiritual. It's called Sunshine Cathedral. And they had an interesting, and by that I mean satanic view of Jesus.
A reading from the wisdom of John Shelby Spong. There's something powerful about the life of Jesus, but his power is not in being a divine figure masquerading as a human being. His power is that his humanity is so full and complete that God can live in him and through him. That's a really powerful story. I think that's what the church was trying to say 2,000 years ago. He's fully human, and yet we experience the divine in him and through him. The ultimate affirmation of the Christian church was that in and through his full humanity, the fullness of God has been met and engaged. And I think that's still a pretty powerful story. I think we can tell that in a modern way. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of this text.
Wait, fully human? Mm-hmm. Isn't there something else? isn't the Lord Jesus, when he walked here, wasn't he also fully God and fully human? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. That's referring to Jesus. The Word became flesh. That's Jesus as well. The Lord Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father. I and the Father are one. See, it's a very clever line to give Jesus a, well, denouncement, to take him down a notch, to demote him, to just human, but having God within him. Because we can all have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's so clever the way so-called progressive churches feel the need to correct God's work. Just like the elites in D.C. feel the need to control us. I contend it's fear, the elites in D.C. I also contend it's fear of the progressive church. That they fear God means what he says, so they're trying to change what God says. Won't work, but they're trying. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Sometimes this happens. There is a theme that takes over the show, and I didn't intend to make the whole show about the deep state or the biblical response to it. But as I'm going through this and thinking about how this has happened to the program, I can't help but think about the deep state spiritually. I mean, the deepest of the deep state spiritually, of course, is the Lord Jesus, the God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, have always existed, will always exist. But we know that they do things for our good. We may not always like the process, but they do things for our good. There's a saying, you can choose your sin, but not your recounts or your results. It's not punishment, but your accountability. You're going to have some. And it's always for your good. That's not the deep state I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the demonic. I'm thinking of the demonic who operates in the background and would love it if we didn't think they operated in the background. They'd love it if we made things just about the world. And I'm comparing the actions of our deep state to them, as our deep state likes to operate in the darkness, but they're so obvious. There was a Chinese national, a human being living in our country, who got on the voter rolls in Michigan and actually succeeded in voting, and the vote has counted, he's still on the voter rolls. They have not removed this voter, even though the vote was plainly illegal, even though it should have happened already. I know it's just one person, but it's a big statement. We don't have a southern border, but they want us to believe we do, the deep state. We have salvation. The demons don't want us to believe that we do. We've been delegated powers by Jesus to rebuke demons who mess with us, who mess with our thoughts, who want us to be depressed, want us to imagine a future where everything is terrible, but that means we're imagining a future without God. We've been delegated these powers to have Jesus work through us to banish them. And I wonder if the demons just laugh. Wow, don't they know that their Lord gave them the power to make us go away? And they can't use it. They won't use it. See, I think there's a parallel to the spiritual deep state working against us and the temporal deep state working against us. Now, in the case of the spiritual deep state, they clearly know they don't mean us well. They clearly know they intend to torture us. They clearly know they intend to divorce us from God. I don't think that the deep state actors in the temporal sense know that. I don't think they think of themselves that way, rather. They think of themselves, of course, as the good guys, saving us from ourselves. But they're deluded in this. So as hard as it is, given the theme of the show today, we're still going to thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. It's almost always the case. Remember this actress, Annette Bening? Remember her? Well, Annette Bening thinks her kids are what she calls trans, and I'm worried she considers them more like purses than humans.
I think the greatest gift of my life is to have kids, and to have a transgender child has made me so much more interesting. So much more wise. And for the Supreme Court justices, I encourage them to talk to their kids, their grandkids, their nieces and nephews.
Because the kids have the wisdom? There is truly an effort, and it's successful with people like Annette Bening, to make people who are gender-defiant or gender-confused into angelic, almost, well, heavenly beings, false gods, bringing to us the wisdom of confusion. God is a God of order, not chaos. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, the man who was murdered, they say, on a subway, Jordan Neely, murdered. Okay, let's step through this. Daniel Penny was not found guilty of negligent homicide or even more serious charges. He held in a chokehold a man who was threatening to kill people trapped with him in a small tin can. Now, I know subway trains seem big, train cars seem big, until you are trapped in them with someone who is acting this way. And if you've never been in that circumstance, I'm here to tell you it is sometimes frightening. I've been in that circumstance. And I'm not someone incapable of defending myself. I can tell you, if I was on that train car and my little girl was with me, I guess my little girl is now 20. If I was in that train car and my 20-year-old girl was with me, I would say, stand behind me. And if that man made a move towards my daughter, I would have already done a physical and weapons assessment and already had a plan of battle and already figured out what I would do physically. Not happy about it. Not trying to be prideful. Stating the fact, Jordan Neely was alive when Daniel Penny got off of him. Daniel Penny was assisted in that by a black man. Somehow that never makes the news. Somehow that black man was not put on trial. Jordan Neely was alive for 45 minutes. The police boss at the scene didn't want his officers delivering mouth to mouth because they knew Jordan Neely to be non-hygienic. People could get sick. So he wasn't murdered. He died, and it's very sad. Something else is more sad, though. It has to do with a moment in time where things could have been different, where someone didn't walk away from him. Jordan Neely's dad suddenly wants to see his son.
I just want to say I miss my son. My son didn't have to go through this. I didn't have to go through this either. It hurts. Really, really hurts. What are we going to do, people? What's going to happen to us now?
It's almost like he hurts. Almost like he's sad. Almost. I really, really loathe judging a man's heart. I'm just noticing this. Someone paid to put that press conference together. That man is lining up a civil trial to try to take money from Daniel Penny and to try to take money from the city of New York. And maybe the city of New York should pay someone. And that man walked away from his son at a very young age. That had to have made a difference. We're not to abandon our kids. Last soundbite's a weird one in the Tower of Babbling. A UPenn professor, Julia Alexivia, is proud that the alleged UnitedHealthcare CEO's assassin and that alleged murderer attended UPenn. She's making a statement on TikTok about how happy, how proud she is on this particular day, touching her heart, smiling with her blue hair. Oh, don't worry. She's since put out a statement saying she made a very insensitive video. She's deeply, deeply sorry that she celebrated the murder of a man from a former spy, or allegedly by a former student. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
Can men get pregnant?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Define what a woman is.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
There are people who identify women as different genders who are capable of getting pregnant. That is my position on this. I am not going to feed more into the bigotry of that question.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, a couple of emails as regard to a show we did earlier this week where I talked about trauma mind and how to help people out of trauma mind or crisis mind. And there's an application to this societally we'll talk about maybe tomorrow. There are organizations who try to keep people trapped in trauma mind. This is part of racial politics. It's to try to convince people that they are not heard, they are not seen, they're set apart, they're uniquely at risk. It's keeping people in trauma mind. But this is a personal note, and these are some pretty personal emails. Julia writes from Indianapolis. Dear Todd, I caught your program on AFR the other day. You mentioned something about crisis brain or trauma brain. I only caught two of the three steps and I had to jump out of the car. Could you please explain that? A lot of us need to understand this with given the trauma that our kids are going through. I please ask you to send that to me or to do something about it again. Thank you, Julia from Indianapolis. Mark from Miami, Florida. Todd, you need to spend more time on topics like the crisis mind. All of us are experiencing this with kids and teens who seem to be in a constant state of exhausting anxiety. I listened to the full thing. I didn't have time to write it down. Is there a transcript of the show? Love what you do at AFR. I've also started downloading your podcast. Thank you. So there's another note. It's a long one, and it's a very personal one, and it relates to an inability a dad has to get his kids out of these trauma mind circumstances. So let me see if I can make this a more understandable approach. Our brains are wired, in terms of being in crisis, to only be able to receive information that is logical and helpful when we are at a point where we feel understood. That's a wall. When people are experiencing crisis or people are in trauma mind, there is no logic that can get to them until they feel, number one, seen. Number two, heard. Number three, having been seen and heard, understood. And at that point, they need to know that you're delighted to be able to be there with them and that together you can solve this better than alone. And from a Christian perspective, we're going to invoke the greatest mind that will ever exist, the mind of God. So here is a real life example, because maybe this will make it easier for people. In a real life example, I had a kid I was working with last year, and we were at camp, and he got into a very, very dysregulated state. And it happened during one of the small group sessions, and the topic of sexual abuse had come up. Because at church that day, at the church camp, there was a sermon about pornography and about how it can lead to bad sexual behaviors and what does the Bible say about this. And during our small group discussion, I saw this boy. I saw his legs begin to shake. I saw his fists tighten. I saw him begin looking away, not participating. And I said to my co-lead, Andy, I said, hey, can you excuse me for a second? And I just took the boy and said, hey, step over for a second, man. He walked over with me and he had his fists against his side. I said, hey, I see your fists clenched and I see you kind of looking away and, hey, what's emotionally, what's going on, man? And he said, I don't want to say. I said, okay. I see that you really don't want to tell me. I see that. So can I ask what would happen if you did tell me? Well, it's about my dad. Oh, I hear you saying that you have some fear about what would happen if you told me something regards to your dad. He goes, no, not fear, anger. Oh, so you're feeling angry. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you saying you're feeling angry. Maybe it's your father. He goes, yeah, really angry. Okay. That could be difficult to deal with. So my understanding is, in our group, something came up for you, and this anger came up, and you didn't want to say anything over there. And so is there something specific you're worried about with your dad? Well, I don't want him to get in trouble. Yeah. I can understand not wanting your dad to get in trouble. Well, so my dad, he like lets my brothers look at pornography. And he knows they do it, and sometimes he looks at it with them. And he doesn't do anything. He doesn't touch us or anything like that. But he kind of thinks it's funny. Oh. Man, I'm really proud of you for sharing that with me. It's super heavy. Maybe you and I can work on this a little bit more. He was seen, heard, understood. And at that point, we were able to begin unpacking what was going on. And I did get an opportunity to speak with his father. In the beginning was the Word was with God, because we believe, we speak, because He first loved us. We speak His Word, we walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, until we all speak again together, given God's permission to do that. May the peace of the Lord that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.